Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinking Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max. Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. We have former white supremacist Giannis Pappas on the show. Wait, my notes are wrong.
Words.
You're a comedian.
No, those are the correct ones. I want to thank the fan that updated my Wikipedia page and made it accurate for a change.
Could you imagine if you just started off like that and that's all it was, where it was just the worst things about you? Holocaust denier Giannis Pappas is here.
It would actually be funny if I came on this to come out as a white supremacist.
Yeah.
That was the episode.
Yeah, well...
Yeah.
No, you're super Greek. Like, you're one of the Greekiest Greeks of all time. I listen to your show. I'm a gigantic fan of it, by the way. The new one is called Long Days with Giannis Pappas. Why I like it is it harkens me back to, like, old school New York radio hosts from, like, the 80s and 90s who would be on air for 8-9 hours a day smoking reds and drinking black coffee with no sugar or cream in it.
Yeah, that's the only way coffee used to come. There was no Starbucks. There was no artisanal anything. It was a dirty cup of coffee that was handed to you by an 80-year-old Greek man whose 90-year-old Greek wife, who he got over from an island, was sitting behind a cash register, and they just came across with a pot and poured it in, and it tasted like dirty water.
Do you feel like your name being Giannis Pappas kind of pigeonholed you into going full Greek or what?
Yeah, totally. I mean,
like, you can't be Danny Bonaducci and come out wearing Irish.
No, if I want to be transracial, it's a challenge for sure. There's no way I can pull off a trans. And I'm thinking of it. I kind of want to live the second half of my life as a Chinese woman.
Yeah, well, you got to go full hair removal to get Chinese.
I would have to do that. I have to have a little work done, and but the penis is already there.
Yeah, well,
so. Yeah, it's a red. It's small. It looks, my penis when I look down, it looks like a turtle head peeping out over a turtle shell.
I'm trying to start an organization that matches people up that need penis reduction with people who need bigger dicks.
That's a great app idea.
Yeah,
and the people are moving to this town to pitch it to.
Yeah, well,
Look, you got to go by race on this one. I hate to say it. I really hate to say it, but that's where we're going with this. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Whites and Asians were up first.
Yeah,
and then it moves up. So. There's going to be a draft. There's got to be a penis lottery, though, to get these goddamn things.
Yeah, there does.
Yeah, like, forget about the vaccine or whatever. We need a penis lottery.
We do need a penis. That's a great app idea. And you know what? The thing about these tech guys, they don't know that they're moving to this town. They're going to get pitched those ideas in, like, the middle of a Terry's barbecue like you. And then if they say no, you're just going to pull a gun and put it to their head.
Well,
and say, I think we're doing the app.
Yeah,
this probably is Texas. Welcome to Texas.
See, he's referencing us going to Terry Black's and then him telling Joe Rogan that I'm a fucking mass murderer stalking the parks of Austin with a fucking loaded weapon, which is true technically. All that is technically true, but there's no malevolent intent there. I'm just kind of hanging out.
No, it's just, this is the only time I've done a podcast with a gun on the table while we're doing it.
Well, usually it's down the front.
It's loaded, too.
Yeah.
Well, what's the point of an unloaded gun?
Yeah.
It's like a car with no gas in it. Fuck out of here.
I want him to know it's not a prop, right? You don't just come on Drinking Bros and you're like, all right, does Dan Holloway live that life or is that fucking thing loaded? Yes, it's loaded. So if somebody came in and fucking ambushed you like it was a Chinese massage parlor, Dan would save you today, Giannis.
Oh, yeah,
is what
I'll
saying.
I'll save you.
I know.
Sure, yeah.
I've been thoroughly briefed on what I'm getting into.
I'll be your hero. We can sing that song, too. Who is that? Enrique Iglesias or some shit? I'll sing the
big
song.
Fan.
I'll sing the song as I'm dumping lead downrange, too.
Yeah. I mean, if that dude tried that down here, I mean, you don't get rubbed out without having the other hand on a gun while you're getting rubbed out.
Correct, yeah, and usually that's for my own benefit, but it's also for the safety and security part. Now, we've got a lot going on today. One, I've got my Nicolas Cage National Treasure coffee mug, right, and I'm drinking Black Rifle out of it. The other thing is you had a great idea on the way in today. We're talking about immigration, right, and we want to be compassionate because it's a serious situation. There's a lot of people that need help, so...
Yep.
He's talking about like an NFL-style combine where people get to try out. And I was thinking American Gladiator style where there's a series of events, But the combine actually sounds better.
Yeah, how fast you can put up drywall. You know, just a series of events to kind of gauge how hard of a worker you are. And then it's kind of an exchange program. Then we get all the lazy Americans, and we tell them we're giving them a free vacation to Mexico.
Yeah.
And then you just close the border and go, you are now Mexican.
You're out.
So it's an even trade. It's like really high-level general managing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Yeah.
The dude who rebuilt the Cubs when they won the Woods. Theo Epstein.
Yeah.
We need a nerd fucking number
Let's
cruncher.
Let's be real. We need a Jewish man.
We need a Jew.
We need a Jew to get involved in this situation, because otherwise we're never going to figure it out.
We got to figure it out. We got to crunch the numbers.
We have to. We got to go. So we got to go what? Number one, drywalling, correct?
Yep.
Number two, you just had the best goddamn tacos of your life. Did you not?
The tacos that I just had, I mean, thank God that there's a desk here, because I have a full creeper right now. My dick is hard.
Yeah.
And those tacos were actually life-changing. Like, I can't. Like, while I was eating them, I was making noises.
It was uncomfortable for me. And you know how hard it is to make me uncomfortable. Yeah. That's why the gun's on the table, actually. So
I mean, they're the best tacos I've ever had in my entire life, and I'm not exaggerating.
You said you would be willing to open up the borders and have no borders whatsoever if you could have tacos like that every single day of your life.
I think that's a fair trade.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I think that's a fair recap of what I said. Yeah. And then I think I followed up with an addendum, and I said, you know what? Let's just open the borders even if I don't get the tacos, just for fun.
Yeah, for fun.
It's time to just open the wall and let the White Walkers in.
There's,
let's go.
There's too many pussies these days, and I feel like a little bit of conflict might help us out some.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How did the Mexican race, though, or community, turn into the White Walkers all of a sudden? I'm a fan of that reference, but what did they do to you?
We always called them on History Hyenas. We always called them the White Walkers just because they were beyond the wall. Mm. So it was a joke that we would say we'd call them White Walkers. So if you're Mexican, you were a White Walker. You guys need a wall between you and California right now. It's an invasion.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, I don't know if you read about this, but during the summer, those Antifa turds tried to set up an autonomous zone in downtown Austin, and then state police on horseback literally rode them out of town like it was Tombstone, Arizona, back in the 1900s. You know what I mean? Like, it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Even here in liberalized Austin, they don't put up with that bullshit.
Right. No, yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I mean, this stuff going on with Major League Baseball right now is so funny to me. It is the dumbest virtue signaling nonsense I've ever seen. Now, there are some parts of that Georgia voting law that are stupid. Some of it just seems like they're angry and they're trying to fuck people over. But the ID part of it, the one that everybody's bitching about, Colorado already has that in place.
Right.
The exact same law.
Right.
And they have for years. So what essentially the net result of this is that Major League Baseball took $100 million out of predominantly black communities and put them into predominantly white communities. That is the net result.
It's crazy.
Just want to know what the fucking real intent was behind all that. If it's just dumb woke corporatism, or if it's something more nefarious, I never know.
Yeah, and Giannis, if you don't know this, the governor here in Texas is in a wheelchair, and we're huge fans of him. Huge fans of his wheelchair, obviously.
Yeah.
Let me strike that. We're not that big of fans of him. We're more bigger fans of his wheelchair. He was going to throw out the opening pitch at the Texas Rangers game yesterday, and he said no. I'm not going to stand up and do that anymore. I'm going to just roll off the mound and not do it. So he didn't throw out the first pitch in a protest for the All-Star game moving from Atlanta. And I thought that was a big move for a guy in a wheelchair.
Yeah, that is a big move for a guy. He's the only guy in a wheelchair I've seen in Texas that's that thin. I mean, usually I was in San Antonio, and that's just the way they walk out there.
Well, those aren't wheelchairs. Those are rascal scooters, Giannis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So a few of them are in like those motorized things because they're big. They're big people.
Yeah. So,
like, if I move out here, like, I have a big aunt, I may have to. That's a new company that's emerging. If Texas gets hot, especially San Antonio, when you call a company to move your car, like Auto Move, you can also like move a relative if they're in one of those cars.
Just
as well.
put them in one of those pods and have them shipped out.
Yeah. Say, I got to move my Lexus and my aunt, who's 400 pounds.
Yeah. Good Lord. You know, San Antonio is the third fattest city in the country, I think.
It really is aggressive. Yeah.
I mean, it's not so much here in Austin, but San Antonio they're fat as fuck down there. Yeah. I don't know what's happening. I mean, they probably had a lot of trouble with COVID, right?
I know exactly what's happening, dude. The tacos that Giannis just ate. Now, imagine if you had access to that every single day, but it was also 120 degrees every single day. You would never work out. All you would do is eat tacos all fucking day. You'd be fatter than shit, and you'd have to get a Rascal scooter. Like, that is your life. Charles Barkley even said, dude, I hate going to San Antonio because all it is fat people walking around.
Yeah.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah, it is definitely accurate. So let's talk about some positive shit because we've been talking a lot of shit about a lot of people lately. Let's talk about these shoes that I just got. So one of the fans of the show sent me these custom Vans shoes, right? And they say something special on the back.
Do they say get fucked on them, Dan?
Just relax, dude.
Is that legal? I don't even know if Vans could do that. If that's the case, that would be amazing if they did.
This is America, dude. So here we go. Go to a single. Can you see that?
Yeah, but I tried to get, you know, Power Donkey 69 on the back of a football jersey, and I couldn't get it. So look at that.
It says get fucked on the back of those. Those are real nice.
Nice.
I can't believe they let him print them on there. I couldn't get, like, I tried to get a Buffalo Bills jersey that had, you know, Suck Me Off 69 on it, and they said no. The NFL said no to me.
What, the NFL said no?
Yeah, what makes Vans different where they're just like, yeah, we can write get fucked in the back of these things? Are they coming from Vans?
If you get a Ray Rice jersey and then ask them to sew a picture of a woman getting punched in the face in the front, can you do that? Like, where exactly is their moral fucking compass?
That's what I don't understand, and I'm having a hard time with it. Hey, Giannis, a weird question for you. Somebody asked me to ask you if you were actually shot. Speaking of guns, were you actually shot as a kid or like a young man?
I was.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I took a little lead. The story's not interesting. You want the fake story or the real story? The fake story, I was helicoptering over Darfur saving children.
you and Hillary Clinton, right?
Yeah, me and Hillary Clinton were there.
Brian
and
Williams is in the other helicopter.
And Prince Harry, too.
Actually, he may have been there.
He was there. Yeah, when he ran off camera when his troops were running? Mm. That's what, I was with him there, and we took some lead. We took some
I think
to fight racism and child trafficking.
Well, how did it go?
It went pretty good. I mean, you know, I think I got about 18 to 22 rebels. I shot them. But I took one. I got shot really close to my penis. It's a true story.
Mm.
Very true story.
Well, luckily it's small, so it was kind of out of the...
You know what? That's a joke that one of the cops made when they came to interview me about the crime at the hospital. And I wasn't in, you know... Go figure, but I was not in that much of a comical mood when I was lying there after getting shot. So, I mean, I didn't have a sense of humor. So, I was like a woke audience member.
What was the real story behind this? Like, I thought this was a joke, but a listener sent it in and said, dude, ask Giannis about the time he was shot. How old were you and where were you and what was the circumstance?
I was 23 years old. I was working at a nightclub. My buddy was like a club promoter, and it was like a really kind of... You know, there was a lot of criminals who came to that night. And
was it Plaxico Burress?
No, it wasn't Plaxico Burress. No, he shot himself. He must have owed himself money. He was like, I know. Bang, give me money. This kid tried to carjack my friend and also rob my friend because he carried so much cash with him out of the club. And I was there. And, I got shot at point-blank range right in the leg. And the bullet stayed in there until it worked its way out because it was too deep in there. They just left it in my ass cheek.
So, serious question.
It was in the butt.
Because they shot you low, were they trying to kill you or just be like, all right, we're just trying to take out your legs so we can get the cash and get out of here?
I don't think it was intentional. I think he reacted because I grabbed his arm and kind of pushed it away because it was just a reaction. I guess it was a fight or flight move. So I just grabbed his arm and tried to push it down. And I think he fired just because I was holding his arm. So I think out of frustration, he fired because he could have plugged me a few more times, but he didn't. Nice guy. Really nice. I'd like to say thank you if I may. I'd be like, you know what? Thank you. You could have killed me. I just want to say thanks.
Was he apprehended?
He was apprehended. Yeah.
Did you go visit him in jail?
I was thinking about it, but I mean, he was just so popular that it was hard to get on the list.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I was thinking that would have been the right thing to do, though. Just say, go there and say thank you for the years of trauma. Or I would just like start sweating on the subway and had no idea why.
So you're going to move to Texas now, right?
Yes, I'm coming to Texas.
How long before you buy a gun?
I already got one.
What do you got?
I got a .22 rifle. Yeah, in New York, that's all you can get in New York.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We'll get you squared away when you get
okay,
here.
Okay, cool, yeah. I'm looking, can you guys get me like a, I'm looking, I want like a rocket launcher.
Well, actually, I took Xander about 2-3 weeks ago out to the Black Rifle Coffee Ranch to shoot grenades. So, yeah, we can do that.
Okay. Yeah, I want something like if the USSR gets back together and tries to invade my living room, I could fucking take him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, really, you just got to be crafty at that point. And get Chris Hemsworth on your side.
Right.
Because the other guy's dead now, right? Swayze's dead, so you got to go with Hemsworth.
Yeah, you got to go with Hemsworth now. And what? Look, wasn't your dad an Army officer? Couldn't he help you out with some of that shit?
He could. I mean, he passed away. He was 91, but he was, yeah, he was in Korea. He was in Korea. My dad had me when he was like close to 50, which now everyone's doing. But back then it was like, that was like, I had an old dad. But yeah, he was in Korea. He just passed away last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
91, that's a good life.
He made it. He had a good 88 too, with no surgeries, no... medical problems. Good 88 years.
Korea, huh? That's America's forgotten war.
It's like, America's forgotten war, but I'll tell you, old people are funny, especially, I guess, old veterans. When he got into his 80s, he would just say, old people just become unfiltered.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember one day we were just sitting in D.C. My brother lives in D.C. We were having a meal, and as the waitress was coming over, out of nowhere, he goes, guys, Korean whores got tight pussies. So it was like it was an answer on Jeopardy or something. It just came out of nowhere.
Was your mom still around?
My mom wasn't there. No.
Okay, so
it's, if you were wondering,
that could have been awkward.
So apparently, my dad got a little puss when he was in Korea.
Yeah, there may be some Korean versions of you out there. Right?
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure there could be. Yeah.
You got to go do 23andMe and then figure out what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, I did 23andMe and I found out I was about 36% Turkish.
Oh, shit.
Which is 36% too much for any Greek if you tell them that.
Yeah, but it makes sense because of all the travel in and out of Constantinople back in the day, yeah. Like 300-400 years ago. Right?
Well, they enslaved us for about 400 years, yeah. So it could have been a little, it could have been a little rap. I like to say it with
rape?
French.
Rape? Yeah.
Low rape, yeah. Yeah, you guys say it French style, so it takes the edge off it.
Yeah, for sure. We don't get censored by YouTube by yelling the word rape over and over.
Yeah, it's a little rapa. That's what we should start doing, is just pronouncing the words they say you can't say. If we just started pronouncing them differently, and then they couldn't, like, send their bots, and,
That's not a bad idea. You got any other examples?
Like, instead of F agate, we just started calling it Zagat.
Oh, yeah, like the diamond company, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they get free advertising. We get to say what we want. Yeah. It all works out in the
end. Yeah, just figure out ways to, like, use pig Latin or put the end of the word in front of the word. Have a little fun with it.
Like Bob Saget. Or we can just call everybody Bob Saget, and then we'll all kind of know.
Yeah.
Although Bob Saget's the furthest from gay. That guy gets so much fucking pussy. Have you hung out with Bob Saget in real life? He's got the craziest, fucking nastiest stories of all time.
I do. He's one of the filthiest comics. And people always say I look like Bob Saget. And I think it's just because I wear glasses and I'm white. I don't know what it is. But, like, Bob Saget's one I get. I also get that I look like John Stamos if he was blind, because my eyes are so close together, So, so I get that. I get, like, yeah, we used to call me Special Needs Stamos was my nickname.
Yeah. I like that, SNS. Yeah, I mean, it's, man, that's, if you're going to get compared to anybody, even if it's as a retard version of them, Stamos is the guy, right?
I mean, Stamos
is one of the best looking human beings of all time, and he continues to be good looking, which is kind of starting to fuck with me a little bit. Him and Tom Cruise, at some point, if they don't start to age, I'm going to kidnap them and find out what's going on.
Yeah, I don't. Tom Cruise somehow looks younger now than he did like 20, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, he could make risky business now without any CGI.
Well, being a billionaire probably helps, right?
That helps. I think that helps.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, and also the children's blood.
The baby blood is good for you. I mean, look, there's other ways to get adrenochrome, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you can synthesize adrenochrome with adrenaline, like from a shot, and iron oxide. That's also adrenochrome. You just have to make it in a lab. It's not that hard. Come on, man. We don't have to kill all the babies, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, just go into the park and scare them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get Stamos' blood and start dishing that into other people. Is he your top Greek? So, like, let's go onesie, twosie, like, top Greeks in the world. If they go down, like, people will freak the fuck out.
Okay. I'm going to go with number one, Maria Menounos, because she's an absolute stone cold for Rome piece. I mean, she is. I mean, she's so hot, it's hard to take. And I'm married, and I don't think my wife is going to watch this episode, so I'm just going to say it. And then I'm going to say number two, my wife, because she's half Greek, so I'm going to go number two. Mm. I just put her behind me. We have to not let my wife see this episode.
Yeah, for sure. We'll block her.
Yeah, so Maria Menounos two, and then I got to go Stamos three. We can't lose Stamos. I think if we lose Stamos, America's over. He's holding us up. He's just like, he's a good representative of the Greek people. Him and Bob Costas. They really hold the spectrum of what a Greek man is. It goes from, because he's wearing a rug. I mean, Bob Costas is wearing a rug.
For sure. Yeah. But look, Marv Albert's worn one for 35 years.
He also bites hookers, which is another fact about him that I enjoy.
Yeah. I don't remember who did the bit on him, but he was talking about how he got a haircut. Like, he gave his wig a haircut for the trial.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. He rugged up. Dude, he gave his own rug a cut, dude.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a separate wig or if it was the same one and he just gave it a... He was looking at it in the morning, he goes, ah, looks guilty. Cuts it a little bit like innocent. All right. Like,
by the way, that's one guy that's happy that his stuff happened before cancel culture. I mean, he got away with... He munched on prostitutes.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, like and, all over their body.
And the one, according to Leary... and I never saw the depositions, but Dennis Leary did a bit about it, and he was talking about how the guy, the prostitute in question, was described as looking like Lawrence Taylor in a wig.
I remember that.
Yeah. Now, that's not good. That's not good. I don't care what your fucking identity or whatever is. That's not good.
No.
Okay?
Yeah, because, I mean, he was the first Army Hammer, and he's still announcing games to this day. Like, he should... theoretically be canceled. His voice is that great and his catchphrases are that great that he wasn't canceled. I can't name anybody else who's physically eaten prostitutes and been able to still keep their job in today's society.
Well, I mean, presumably Jack the Ripper, who never got caught, continued his day job.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was murdering prostitutes. And it's hard to say, like, with this guy with the massage parlors and nail salons and stuff like that, it turns out he wasn't anti-Asian. He was a little too pro-Asian.
Right. I heard he had like a little addiction to the... Yeah. Yeah, he liked to get his glue gun squeezed out. Yeah.
Right. So you got to wonder if Jack the Ripper was anti-prostitute, pro-prostitute, or if it was just a target of opportunity, right? Because it's easy to kill hookers. Let's be real. We all know that. Yeah. We've all killed hookers here. Come on.
I mean, you got to start. That's like the marijuana of killing. You
right,
start
yeah.
with prostitutes.
It's a gateway. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you work your way up to presidents.
Okay, but you know why. Nobody's going to miss them. Like, nobody's going to miss a prostitute. Where if you're going to kill somebody, you go homeless and then you go prostitutes. Nobody's really going to come looking for you that hard after that.
Right. Except AOC. She'll come and say, where are these people?
She's going to stand at a chain link fence where this prostitute's on the other side and make a bunch of faces, and then it's going to pan out and there'll be nothing.
Yeah.
There'll be a sea of nothing.
Yeah, come to think of it, Marv Albert's the only... He usually, when people bite prostitutes, are like, you know, if you're missing it, because you know, if you dated 10 Bundy, you were going to get your nipple bitten, right?
For sure, yeah.
But that was him being nice. That was him. That was making love with Ted Bundy. But if you were a prostitute and you came across Ted Bundy or a woman in his Volkswagen, you were going to get your nipple bitten off.
For sure. Yeah. Off is the key phrase. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're dating, this is a lesson for all you ladies out there. If you're dating a man and he's a little too bitey, make sure when you show up on the next date, he doesn't have, you know, accoutrement to cook with. If he shows up with like salt and pepper and shit, you're like, no, I'm out. It's like a big fucking cauldron. Like, no, I'm good, man. I'm just going to go home.
Marv Albert's the only guy who bit and didn't kill them, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe that's like early stage behavior for a serial killer, right?
Probably.
No, it is. It's like killing animals is first as a child.
Yeah.
And then homicidal ideation is the next thing. Uh-huh. And then you start to get into actual, like bit by bit, they start to increase their behavior.
Pun intended, yeah.
Yeah, bite by bite, I guess, yeah. So
yeah,
if he was biting people in the 90s, he's probably carving people up right now.
Probably, yeah.
The good news is he's old as fuck, and he probably is too feeble to really take somebody down.
Yeah.
Unless he's going full Cosby and drugging them up first.
Right. Or unless he's, like, old school and smart, and he just goes to another country where the government doesn't care about its people. And
with enough money.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. If you go to the Sudan, how much could it possibly cost just to kill a human being?
Dude, or you go to Thailand. I always still hear stories that in Thailand, there's just like you can go, there's like English billionaires running around doing the worst horrible things.
Yeah. Oh, and bedwetting too. Thanks, Catherine Lowe. Of course, a white woman in the audience knows more about fucking serial killers than anybody else.
I'd like to pose one then about Stamos then, Giannis. He's got a weird fetish. He's into Disney World, like to an extreme level where he collects like the actual shit from Disney World, like the signs and the fucking puppets.
So
and
when
the,
you,
if
you,
it's a small world stuff. Like he's got it in his house.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have walked into a woman's home before, and she's either had like unicorns or dolphins everywhere, right? Like little statues or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you think she was putting them inside of her, or is it just like a weird thing? Because people like do cat ladies, they don't fuck their cats. They're just obsessed with cats, I would assume. I don't know a lot of cat ladies.
No, I think they fuck their cats, and I do think they put those things in there.
Oh, God damn it.
Why have them? I mean, that's what I've always thought about tchotchkes. I think tchotchkes are just sort of like when company comes over, they go on the shelf, but when company leaves, they go in your ass.
Anything on that, Ross?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, look, we've all had tchotchkes as a child.
Right.
What were yours? Like,
well,
I had the... for a while, I had the Beanie Baby things or whatever because it was a collector's item. That's what I would tell people, but then obviously I was fucking them.
Well, you also,
what about you?
You've got a very suspiciously shaped hourglass sitting on the table in front of you right now. So you want to address that before Giannis gets to his fucking tchotchke collection?
Yeah. I'll address both of these things. People were asking me if I watered the goddamn plant. No, because of, you know, me being like evacuated from my house, we put things on the table to make it look like a fun, flirty set. Well, my wife did this. Price tag still on the bottom. I don't know if she's planning on taking that back. Somebody was asking me if the plants watered. Nope, fake plants. She got this at TJ Maxx for $9.99. She's a little Maxinista.
Yeah, but you're skipping past the important part. Has that thing, either one of those things, been in your ass? Yes or no?
No, this too fragile, but I've thought about it.
Yeah.
So
for
if it
sure.
wasn't, if this wasn't able to explode inside my asshole and completely, you know, make me bleed from the inside out, I'd give it a go.
Yeah.
If we had a weird night down at the beach, I'd be like, all right, well, fuck it. Grab the hourglass thing from set. Let's put that up my butt. And that way I have my own secret when guests come on, where it's just like, that's the most important thing, is that I have my own secret.
That's
I don't even give a shit that you guys know.
That is a real power move, to have things around your house that have been in your ass and people don't know. And then they touch them. Like, if you're having a bad day or that person pissed you off, you can just wait for them to touch that thing and you know that you've just owned them.
Yeah.
Right?
That is one of my favorite sketches from UCB, old school.
Oh,
UCB.
Yeah, that's right. He put like quarters and stuff in his ass.
Goes,
yeah,
how
pennies,
do I get confident? Yeah. I put the pennies, I put them in my ass, and then I hand them to people. And then my ass pennies circulate. Yeah.
He said, after so much time, there's like an 80% chance you've had my ass pennies in your hands or some shit like that. So what were your tchotchkes as a kid? What did you put up your butt when you were a child?
I didn't. You know what? What I would do, I would do anything for a laugh when I was a kid, right? So mm-hmm. I used to tuck my dick between my legs and yell "La Puss." Mm-hmm. And then what I would do at parties, when like at high school parties, I would take a G.I. Joe figure and have his arm, I'd stick his arm in my ass and run around with him flopping around in it. Like he was like on a helicopter, like he was, you know, like shooting, I guess you guys shoot wild hogs here like that.
Oh, we do.
Yeah. So it looked like the, you know, I'd have a G.I. Joe figure just, and I'd run around and I'd yell "La Puss." So the only thing that's been in my ass is a G.I. Joe figure. I don't even like a female's finger close to my butt. I don't want anything close to my smash bean. It's just, it's a disaster area. It's got fumes, and I want people away.
That's my thing. I respect anal. You understand? Like, people get all willy-nilly with it. I respect it. It takes time and preparation for it to work correctly. And it's, let's be real, unless you're crazy about it, it's mostly for the chick anyways.
Right.
Because a vagina feels better than a butthole, in my
opinion.
Totally.
It's so, self-lubricating.
Yeah, exactly. So I respect the fact that it takes time and effort, and I'm not willing to put in the time and effort to make it enjoyable for both parties.
Right.
So I'm just not going to do it. That's just how it is. It's like...
So you're more not... You're just lazy about it. You're correct. Because laziness... Yeah.
I mean, I'm lazy in pretty much everything.
I wonder if there's some gay guys who are like, I'd be, you know, I'm into guys and I'd be gay, but it's too much
work. Yeah.
Yes. We've had people on the show, gay guys, who have said that, where they were just like, God damn it, man. I just want to either lie down and be banged or just suck somebody off and go to bed because I'm exhausted after that. We have had gay guys on the show.
Right.
Well, I don't know that. Why you just said we have had gay guys on the show. Like, you're like, I got a black friend, man. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
I think our audience knows who it was, but whatever.
It was Milo Yiannopoulos, who is a fake Greek.
Yeah, and who apparently now says he's straight.
That's weird.
He cured himself.
I've known Milo for a long time. He is not straight.
Yeah. I don't, you know, you got to give him the football test.
Throw him a football and
you
see
throw
if he
him
catch
a football
it.
And just see if he, like, if he catches it like that, then, like, that's what you got to do. You got to go out for a pass, son. And because that's how you try to, that's how a lot of, you know, old school dads would try to cure gay. They'd be like, you're not gay, go out for a pass.
Just slinging footballs at the guy's face until he finally catches it.
Kid's just going, Dad, come on, stop.
So those black guys weren't from abuse. No. He was trying to teach that kid how to play football.
Yeah, and the dad, he's just like, Dad, stop. Let me just fucking watch this Britney Spears video and dance with this snake around my neck or whatever.
Hey, Dan, did you tell Giannis? Oh, shit, probably not. I don't know how long you guys were there, but... We had a guest on the show staying at my house who fucked herself with a goddamn my wife's hairbrush and then left it in the bed.
You guys hang out with some cool people. Yeah. She didn't tell anyone. She just went and just fucked herself with the brush.
Giannis, you got podcasts same as us. We got some sponsors. Put the shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinking bros. 30% off everything in the entire store. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today. and just use the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. Also, if you buy a mattress right now and take a little pic of yourself and or a loved one on the mattress and post it on Instagram and tag Drinking Bros and Ghostbed, they will send you 2 free pillows. How do they do it? I don't know. It's creepy, but I love it. I love it. And they'll come and find you, and you'll get a nice little email. I think it comes from Rich Bernstein directly, and he just says, hey, guys, I love the pic. Let's send you a couple pillows. Let's be on about our way. But if you don't want to do that, that's fine, too. You know, go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Mattresses, sheets, pillows, adjustable bases, you name it, they have it at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Where, as always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there. And you can gangbang that deal I just mentioned with the interest-free 36-month pay-as-you-go program, and you're good to go. $35 a month, probably, if you want a whole fucking brand-new mattress set. You need it in times like these. A good night's sleep is important. Next up, we've got CandidCo.com/drinkingbros. That's CandidCo.com/drinkingbros. Now, with this one, you're going to want to use the promo code Drinking Bros on this, because this, kids, is for your best smile. It's for your teeth. If you see everybody walking around with the kind of the clear braces, the Invisalign brace thing where it's just invisible, whatever it is, that's what this is. This is CandidCo.com/drinkingbros. And what they do is they pair you up with a real live orthodontist. So it's not some bullshit person who's pretending to be a dentist or anything like that. They work with real orthodontists. And when you start the program, you'll be talking to the same one over and over and over again. And then they ship it to your house and it'll save you thousands. The average Candid treatment is only like 6 months. And you'll start seeing results like way before then. And again, it costs like thousands less than traditional braces. Man, I had braces for fucking 8 years, dude. It was miserable. I wish this existed back then. I'm a huge fan, and I'm sure my kids will have to have it because my teeth were garbage growing up. Become your best you. Start straightening your teeth today. Right now, you can save $75 on Candid starter kits. Go to CandidCo.com/drinkingbros and use the code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. That is CandidCo.com/drinkingbros, code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. Take advantage of this limited time offer to save $75 on your starter kits. CandidCo.com/drinkingbros. That code again at checkout is DRINKINGBROS. $75 off. That is a big boy savings there. Wish I had it back then. Last but not least, GiannisIsMyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will get you half your deposit back on there. So if you put in a grand, congratulations, you're getting 500 back. I thought I would give them some extra love today because, well, they took all my money last night during that Baylor-Gonzaga game, and it was no blames for me. But let's face it, I've crushed all year. It's probably good that they got some back. That is our big gambling sponsor here. I'm on it every goddamn day. Sometimes people say a little too much. Go to mybookie.com today and use the promo code Drinking Bros. You can already bet on next year's college basketball predictions already. They've already got that shit launched today. Gonzaga's number one, I believe. They still got him up at number one, and UCLA's super high up there as well. But you can already throw in next year's predictions on that, as well as the UFC card coming up this weekend. Go to mybookie.com, use that promo code Drinking Bros, and get in on it, dude. I just like to have fucking five on it, just to make it interesting at the house, dude. Thank you, Giannis, for letting me do the sponsors. Did it. She thought she was staying an extra day. She was not. And then the maid came in, and I get a call from the maid, and she was like, hey, I think there's still somebody in the house. And I was like, all right. So I fucking grab my gun. I go down to the guest house where, you know, we had put people when they used to fly into town. We were in Wilmington, and I walk in, and like the oven's on, things are going, and I'm like, oh my God, either somebody's fucking living in here because it was like down by the beach, or the person we had had flown into town was fucking themselves with a brush and then just left all this shit on, had some fucking crazy party. That's exactly what it was. The brush was still on the bed. There was a bottle of lube that was on a table next to the, on the nightstand next to the bed, completely gone. It was all over the sheets, everything. And the brush reeked. I mean, just reeked like pussy. And the maid was like, I think somebody was fucking themselves with your wife's brush in this bed.
Jesus Christ.
I gave up at that point. And I was like, I went in and I was like, look, I apologize. I picked up the brush and I smelled it in front of her. And I immediately said, yes, your assumptions are correct. Somebody was fucking themselves with my wife's hairbrush. And I apologize. And I gave her an extra $100 and I didn't know what to say.
Can we talk about how human beings won't trust other people when they say something smells like something? Like if you're like,
yeah,
you're like, this smells terrible. And the first thing you do is grab it. What the fuck? Oh God, it smells terrible. Like I fucking just said that, asshole.
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
don't we trust people?
I don't know. Same thing with our balls. It's like, I'll be watching TV and I'll sniff my own balls. And then I'll do it again.
Yeah, just
I'll do
to
it
make
again
sure,
a couple
yeah.
minutes later as if it's going to be somebody else's balls.
Well, that's the scientific method, though. You've made a hypothesis, right? And now you're testing it.
That's yeah. a good way to put it, yeah. yeah.
Socratic method, that's yeah. what it is. Here's how. I went 45 or so days without showering once in Iraq, right? Uh-huh. You use wet wipes and stuff sometimes, but even then, it's like, whatever the fuck.
That's like how my baby showers. We don't put her in the tub. We just wipe her
yeah,
down.
Yeah. yeah. So you're like sweating the whole time. This grown man sweat in 120 degree weather. Right. right. I knew it was time to throw my clothes away when I sat down in my clothes and I could smell my own balls immediately.
Yeah. That only takes me like just one hot day, a couple hours.
But
yeah.
Greek. So let's circle yeah. back to the Greek thing. Yeah. I'm looking at famous Greeks. Obviously, we talked about Stamos. This is Greek Americans, by the way. Some of these are surprising to me. Tommy Lee is apparently got
Tommy
some
Lee's
Greek.
Half Greek. Yeah, but once
whoa, he,
yeah. so he's got the best Greek dick then, probably.
Kid
right?
has got a nice cut of beef for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's got a fucking. He's got a nice glue gun.
By the way, Giannis, I've been to his house. I did a movie with him, and it's like the sex swing, all that shit was real. It was during the Pamela Anderson thing. So like the life that you thought he was living from that sex tape was totally fucking legit.
I want that to be legit, by the way. If I found out it wasn't legit, I would be so disappointed. And not only in him, but in America.
Yeah, that was a nice, that was, I just, Pamela Anderson had a pretty... This isn't a family show, right?
No.
Pamela Anderson had one of the prettiest pussies I've ever seen in my entire life.
Very photogenic.
Yes.
It
yeah.
was like, it should model. Like, I saw it and I was like, I felt like a manager in Hollywood going like, are you represented? I yeah. wanted to ask her a pussy. Like, we need to get you.
Just the paparazzi taking
yeah,
a bunch of pictures.
Like, it
flashing,
needs to
yeah.
be seen. That thing needed to be seen.
It did. You know, here's what I'm thinking. If we ever develop time travel... Fuck going back and killing Hitler. I'm going to bring a very nice digital camera back to Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee so we can get that thing shot the way it was supposed to be.
Yeah. That's
the way God intended it? Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. yeah. You see, other Greeks. Zach Galifianakis, obviously.
Zach Galifianakis.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Betty White is apparently half Greek.
Betty
well.
White is half Greek, yeah.
Now, here's one people forget about. Telly Savalas, Dirty Dozen.
Telly Savalas
amazing.
Was the OG original. Who loves you, baby? Yeah.
If you're telling yeah. me that dude wasn't traveling the country murdering people back in the 1950s and 60s, of course he was, right? Look at his fucking face.
Absolutely. He looks like a guy who shows up when you need to murder somebody. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Rita Wilson, looks like they're escaping back to Greece now or yeah. some weird going on there.
She's Greek
sure.
and actually Tom Hanks converted to Greek Orthodox because of her.
Has anybody in the history of religion converted to Greek Orthodox before this? Because that seems like a weird conversion.
You know what it is? If you want to marry... Greeks are so into being Greek that if you want to marry a Greek, you have to. You got to get dunked. That scene in My Big Fat Greek Wedding is kind of accurate. Yeah,
it like, is, really.
Yeah, Greeks are just... Greeks discriminate against all people. They just want to be around Greeks. And if you're not
yes.
Greek, they will make you Greek.
All right, Anthony Kiedis.
Anthony Kiedis is not Greek.
Not Greek.
No, he's Lithuanian or something, but a lot of people think he is Greek. Because his name is Anthony Kiedis. I know them all. I mean, Bob Costas, George Tenet, former director of the CIA, Greek kid, Spiro Agnew.
What about Frank Zappa? He's on this list.
Fuck it, he's Greek. Yeah, if it's on Wikipedia, it's got to be true.
If he's a good one. So you don't like, what I'm hearing is you like Frank Zappa, you don't like Anthony Kiedis. Because you were like, no, Anthony Kiedis, Frank Zappa, no evidence needed. He's great.
Like Anthony Kiedis so much that I went and researched it after I saw it was Greek, and I found out he wasn't. I was disappointed.
Sasha Grey, you know who that is?
Yeah, she's Greek.
Yeah.
And her dad is not happy. She hasn't spoken to her dad in about 25 years.
Oh, Tina Fey is Greek.
Yeah.
Great writer. Uh-huh. I think she's a better writer than an actress, to be honest. Oh, Pete Sampras. Greek athletes, that's where it is.
Pete Sampras is an icon to the Greek community. Mark Philippoussis.
Yep.
He was Greek. There's a Greek guy right now who's a great tennis player. I can't remember his name. But Sampras is a big one.
Greg Louganis is a big one.
Greg Louganis.
Well, look, yeah. Sampras to me is a legend because he married Veronica Vaughn, and she still holds up. Like, have you seen a recent
Veronica
picture of her?
Veronica Vaughn is one piece of ace.
She's definitely for Rome.
Holds up. And then I did name my fantasy football team one year Pete Sampras' baby arm. If Hot Bob is able to put up a picture of Pete Sampras when he was at the top of his game, his other arm looks like a midget arm, like a little tiny T-Rex arm, because he never used it whatsoever. And it was Pete Sampras' baby arm. It looks like a child's arm.
You're talking about his left arm. So that happens to baseball pitchers sometimes too, because they throw mostly with their fucking right hand, especially baseball pitchers that also hit left-handed. Pay really close attention to their right forearm versus their left forearm. That's all I'm going to say.
Interesting.
Always thought it was pounding off, but yeah. Turns out it's probably pounding off.
Here's a big other one. Stuff. Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, yeah. Aniston's a big one.
Oh, Jay Aniston. Her dad
is the guy from fucking soap operas for years.
Yeah.
He played Victor, right?
Yeah.
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 Big time.
Jay Anus is my jam, dude. My wife will get on me about Jay Anus whenever she's on. And I've tried to make that abbreviation happen for years. It hasn't really stuck for Jay Anus. But there's got to be a box of crazy with her at home, because I don't understand how you would leave, like Brad Pitt would leave her and the other guy. Shit, really good looking guy. He might have been Greek.
Justin something.
Trudeau?
No.
Yeah,
but
Thoreau.
It does, Thoreau. It. Justin Thoreau.
Justin Trudeau, yeah.
The guy from
who is
from American Psycho.
Canada's first Indian prime minister. So
how can you be the fucking the symbol for North American wokeness as a white man and have this history of blackface? Isn't yeah. I mean I don't I, what are we doing here?
He did Indian face. Yeah,
he did Indian face and blackface. Is there any? He's like looking down the list. Is there anybody we haven't fucked with yet? My dad was the prime minister twice. You son of a bitch.
Yeah. Justin Trudeau.
What a fucking dummy.
Let me ask you this, Giannis. Like with the Greek people and the whole shit. Like, one of my best friends is Greek. You were right. He married a Greek woman. If they get angry with one another, they only talk to each other in Greek. When the family comes over, us non, you know, only English speakers, they'll speak Greek in front of each other about us in front of us. And they do a lot of business in cash only. Why
cash.
Is that?
Oh, Greeks love cash, dude. They love it. Greeks like to avoid taxes. They don't trust anyone. Do you guys have Greek diners out here at all? Or they're not really in Texas?
Not really, but I love Greek diners. Yeah. I grew up like in the South, the Southeast. I grew up in South Carolina, but the whole Southeast of the country is covered in Greek diners, right? Because they want to go to places that have low taxes. You see Greek people in red states mostly.
Yes.
Because they don't want to fucking pay taxes.
They don't
want
to pay taxes, and we're paranoid people. So if you go to a Greek diner, you always notice that, like my grandfather owned a diner. They're there all the time, and they're behind the cash register.
Yeah.
Like, you can't pay at a Greek diner by handing your check to the waiter or waitress.
No, no, no.
You have to pick the check up.
You go to the counter,
You go to the counter and give the money directly to the owner of the restaurant or his wife, and that's it. And then you get yourself a little fucking horrific mint that tastes like,
I don't know,
compressed toothpaste.
That, it might be compressed toothpaste.
It's actually gross, dude. Yeah. And everyone's got their hands. I think that's how COVID started.
It might be. Yeah. It's either that or a lab in China, like the CDC director said.
Or that one. Yeah.
Hey,
he
said it. We're not saying that happened. I'm saying the former CDC director said that that's what happened. Just so we're clear, right?
Right. Yeah, he did.
Or
say
all of us a year ago, we all said it. But the Greek thing is true. My buddy's place, he runs it with his dad. I'm not going to say what it is because I don't want to give it away, but there is an ATM machine 5 feet from the cash register. And if you try to go up there with a credit card or whatever, it'll point at the cash register and be like, nope, right there, my man. Grab that cash.
Yeah, that's because when the government goes, okay, tax time, they go, we had a horrible year. It's not mine. still get Section 8, and then they got all the money in the mattress.
Have you watched that that special that Colin Quinn did for CNN?
I didn't see. I saw it live. Which one was that? The states one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I saw it live, but I didn't see it on CNN. So I don't know if I saw the final product or not. But well, I love Colin Quinn.
He tells this joke about America, and how maybe we should go back to the Greek system where when it's time to fight the Persians, right? Athens and fucking and everybody get together.
Right.
Leonidas shows up and all that stuff. But yeah. Until then, just mind your fucking business, right?
Right.
Like
yeah.
What would he say? The Spartans were doing CrossFit, the Athenians were butt fucking each other or whatever. I don't remember
reading books under trees and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they fought with each other until they had a common enemy. And
right.
Then, yeah.
Yeah, but who's our? We got to find a common enemy.
I thought we had one, you know, but I don't think we could even have. I think we're so politically correct now that even if like the CCP run, you know, Chinese military just showed up from the Pacific
right.
and just stormed Malibu and set up captain's quarters at Reese Witherspoon's beach house
yeah.
and then took Pepperdine University, I still think we'd be going like, don't. It's not an act of aggression. Don't discriminate.
Yeah.
You know, respect Asian lives. And I think we would just invite them in and they just storm all of California, which I'd be okay with.
What about if, let's say, for example, a government, let's say China, decided to put Christians and Muslims, Uyghurs into...
Hypothetically speaking.
Right. Not that this would ever happen in real
right.
life. But let's just say they did that, put these people in concentration camps and murdered them. And then, I don't know, professional sports organizations continue to defend them and do business with them.
Right. What I would do is I'd grab my iPhone, which was made by Chinese children slaves, and I would tweet, I don't respect what's going on with this law where you have to show an ID. And I would boycott Georgia with my slave-made phone. That's what I would do because I'm a good person.
Oh, boy.
I would put Georgia's legislature on fucking notice.
Well, Georgia matters or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something matters. Somebody said something matters. So family matters. That's it. Good show.
Good show.
Oh, yeah. Big fan.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Best dad on television and history. And he also did Die Hard.
Yeah. He's also in the best Christmas movie of all time.
Oh, that makes me think of another Greek from sitcom era, Webster's Pops.
Oh, yeah.
On what the is his show
name?
Webster.
Oh, George Papadopoulos.
George Papadopoulos, the actor who played George Papadopoulos, was also Greek.
Yeah. Well, right, he's dead now. R.I.P.
Rest in peace.
Well, he was a football player, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yes.
Paul Verzey, who you've had on here.
Alex Karras, that's his name.
Alex Karras, yeah. Yes.
Paul Verzey's great, by the way.
And he's Greek.
He's funny as
he's
shit.
He's half Greek. He doesn't acknowledge it because he's also Italian and his dad brainwashed him, but he's Greek.
That's a that's got to be tough. I mean, forget about growing up in a mixed black and white family.
Yeah.
Growing up in like a fucking Italian and Greek family, how do you fucking, how do you get anything done? Between the eating and the yelling and different languages, you got to know three languages to argue in, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But those are two cultures that do love cash.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing Italians like more than a little peeling off a slice of lettuce and handing it to a busboy.
Yeah, for sure, because Greeks were enslaved for 400 years. Italians have, historically in Europe, the most corrupt government forever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've gone from fucking socialism to fascism.
Yeah.
Like, they can't... Like, which one's worse? Let's figure it out. We're going to try them both. Like, oh, shit. That's a strategy, shit.
Also, like, yeah, when I always thought when the Me Too movement gets to Italy, it's just like, that's like... That's their whole culture.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they're harassing women on the street is their... That's how they say hello.
Go walk around in Fiumicino where the airport is in
yeah.
Rome and
yeah.
try to... As a woman of any race, or you could be fucking 300 pounds. It's not going to matter. Like, hey.
They grab you. Yeah. They go like, oh, Ciabella. They can't even take it. Yeah. Oh, Ciabella. Yeah. And they just grab you. If you're a German tourist, I think they just like... They attack you. They can't handle it.
It's, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Have you been over to Greece, by the way? Or are you a fake Greek? Are you a fake Greek who's never actually been to Greece?
I'm a real Greek, 100%. You know what I mean? I'm not gay, but I'd be good at it if I went to prison. It would come naturally. I've been to Greece.
I don't think you guys get enough credit for inventing butt sex.
We don't get enough credit. We get a credit for a lot of other things, math, you know, science. Mm-hmm.
Philosophy. Yeah.
Philosophy, democracy. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yes.
It's really about anal.
Anal is, Greeks are, you know.
Is it weird to you that the race, the ethnicity that has the most body hair invented anal sex?
it is weird because you'd have you to get to my ass, you have to go through a booby trap.
Oh, yeah.
Brillo pad.
Yeah.
I mean, you could really clean a pot with
it,
the hair.
It looks like a fucking infantry guy trying to go through the jungles of Vietnam. You know what I mean? It's just like
you need
cutting
a machete.
Shit down.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is happening back here? But somehow, those are the people that invented anal. That doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense. It's a good point. I never.
But
really
white people invented basketball, so
they did. A lot of things don't make. You would think that Asians might invent because they're hairless.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's an easy entry.
Yeah, he's hair. Ross is hairless.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hairless. I'm not Asian. I'm not
well,
hairless.
Well, we'll see. You got to
do
23
minutes. I don't understand. They don't get enough credit. And then the movie 300 did nothing, obviously, for them. Like, there was no butt sex in that at all.
No, yeah, they only told half of the story there.
And those dudes were not hairy enough to be real Greeks.
No.
I mean, come on, man. You can't see a Greek guy's abs. You may see ripples down there, but they're going to be covered in hair.
No.
Let's be real.
Yeah. It's if you're hairless, I mean, it's Asian. Asian and black guys seem to have, like, the hairless ripped bodies. And then, like, yeah, we're just – Greeks are just hairy kids. And my hair is in, like, weird places. My body basically looks like yogurt with hair in it. That's what it looks like. It just looks like pasty white yogurt.
Just a cup of Oikos with a fucking wig in it. God damn it.
Greeks and yogurt, too. That's another one.
Yeah, there's the Oikos and all that other shit. Did you watch the game last night, by the way?
No, you want to know what? We missed it. I was with Alexander. We have the same last name. We're not related, but he took me. It was great. We went to the Rangers game yesterday.
Oh, cool.
So we drove all the way to Arlington, which is funny because I drove from Dallas the day before. So I drove back to Arlington, and we were driving back. We missed it. So we missed it. I heard Baylor won, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything. It was as if Gonzaga had never played against black athletes before. I mean, it was all white Gonzaga. Looked like it was their first time playing like an inner city school. They got fucking mopped last night. I lost all of my money. And a bet to Hot Bob back there. I've got to fucking grow out an Adam Morrison mustache and wear a jersey for a week now.
That's a great punishment. I love that.
Yeah, so yeah. I've been ruining his life for years now. There was the Super Bowl bet. This was a double whammy. We talk about this on the show sometimes, but so he's a huge Falcons fan. That 28-3 game, he lost a bet. It was our other coach, Jared, that actually made it with him, but it was my idea where he had to get a perm. So he got the perm and it looked ridiculous, and he just, like, as being a good sport, he leaned into it, grew the Magnum PI mustache and rocked the Detroit Tigers hat for a while.
Yeah,
right.
Well.
The next one was what was the next one? Prefontaine.
Steve Prefontaine. I bet on Oregon a lot. I believed in Oregon way too much one year, and obviously, you know, the pride of Coos Bay is Steve Prefontaine, R.I.P. again, who died in that car accident. So I had to dye my hair blonde and grow a mustache. The good thing is this: my wife likes a mustache, so she's fine with the Adam Morrison bet. But she wanted no part to do with that game last night. She was just like, "This is fucking." I mean, it was, dude. At one point, it was like 25. They were down 25 in the first half.
Yeah.
So you didn't miss anything last night at all.
You know, it's the curse of being undefeated, man. Like you got to throw a game just to get that kind of bad karma. It just seems if you go undefeated, has any team in any sport ever?
UConn women's.
Only UConn's
like
women. Yeah.
A couple of times in the 1972 Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, but in like real sports. Okay. Well, you said Miami Dolphins. Okay, because you said I heard women's sports, and I was like, okay, talking about intramurals.
No, the Dolphins are the only ones that did. As a matter of fact, in that season where the Patriots went undefeated with Randy Moss, they lost in the second round of the playoffs, right? They got bounced. Or is it the first round? They got bounced before the AFC Championship.
They got bounced, and then of course the Giants that season. Yeah. You know that. God, that must hurt for Gonzaga. Everyone had Gonzaga going all the way.
Not me. And I picked Baylor before the season started. I rode them out, and I made a lot of money yesterday.
Good.
I made money on the points and the money line. I also made money on a couple of props, including one with Butler scoring 20 and having 6 assists. I made like an extra $700 on that one, I think.
Nice.
Yeah,
it was a fucking car crash for me over here. Yeah. I'm watching every shot. I think I knew they were in trouble when it was, no lie, because I think Gonzaga's got like 4 white starters.
Yeah.
And they play in this shitty league against all other white people. And they just looked last, I mean, it was the look in their eyes last night. It was like, what is going on? I've never, It was like when fucking Marty McFly's car went back into the future and the fucking dude opens up the barn doors. You know, I was like, what's this?
Yeah.
That's what Gonzaga looked like last night. And I was like, God damn it. I lost all of the money on that. And I was so pissed off about it. But I've never seen a team just look completely shocked by how fast another team was in the championship, and these guys were undefeated.
Well, they were fast, but
and now they're not.
They were fast, but Gonzaga was also slow, right? It wasn't, and not because of their whiteness. They were clearly in an adrenaline valley.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That game against UCLA took it out of them.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's the curse of going undefeated and playing so well is like when you're challenged. I don't think they knew what to do. And, like, UCLA challenged them, and they barely won with a miracle shot at the end. And then you kind of felt like they kind of lost maybe a little bit of their confidence. Kind of, they weren't used to being challenged.
It was the first time they got punched.
Yes.
And it made them dizzy, and they didn't know how to react to
that. That's a great way to describe it.
I mean, it really is what happened. And that's what I predicted also. You should have listened to me, Ross.
I should have. Look, you won this one. It's fine, man. I picked the Bucks in the Super Bowl. You did
no, I got so, I got torched on
no,
that
No, we're onesie-onesie. Here. Some breaking news that I'd love to get your feedback on. Axios is reporting that Caitlyn Jenner is exploring a run for California governor.
Why not? Yes. Let the games begin.
By games, you mean the Hunger Games because this is the capital, right?
Yeah. And I think Meghan Markle is going to run for president next. It's on, dude. The floodgates have opened. The gates of hell are open. It's hard to close them.
I'm glad in a way that we're just not pretending like any of this really matters anymore.
Yeah.
That's a relief to me.
Wait, I'm going to let me just read this off to you here. Former reality TV star Caitlyn Jenner is exploring. She's talking with political consultants. They have three sources with this because Gavin Newsom is up as a Democrat and he's facing a recall. They're looking for a high profile Republican. And she, I'm going to say that softly, is strongly considering running against him. Dan, you and I had talked about this of if he does go up for a recall, there isn't anybody famous enough or with a brand name enough to actually win. Could Caitlyn Jenner actually be the fucking governor of California? Yes.
What I want to see is a bunch of Inland Empire white trash Republicans voting for a trans woman that's a member of the Kardashian family. You fucking kidding me? Yeah, I want to see that shit.
Yeah, it's fun, yeah.
I mean, we don't give a fuck what happens in California, do we? No one cares, right? Let's just fucking, if it's a game show, let's jump the fucking shark here.
Yeah,
let's
I mean, that guy, I think he, I don't see any chance of him winning against anyone.
Gavin Newsom, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, if he does, dude, I mean, everyone, he's caused like a mass exodus out of California. Mm. Yeah. He overplayed his hand.
Him and fucking de Blasio / Cuomo are like the worst leaders of all time.
Yeah.
Like you want a wartime consigliere when war goes down. And they did not. They had soft leaders. No. They had Paul, what is his name? Paul Castellano, whatever the fuck his name was. And then
Fredo?
No. The actual boss of the Gambino crime family.
Well, Paul Castellano was a good boss. He was a smart boss. He just.
Well, he wasn't a wartime guy, right?
No, he wasn't a wartime guy. Gotti was more of a soldier and. Paul Castellano was more of a brains guy.
Yeah, and once Neil whatever the fuck died, he just, Gotti clipped him, right?
Yeah, but Gotti had him killed.
You got to have a guy that knows what he's doing. You can't have fucking de Blasio who's, man, he's like Beto. He doesn't even get erections. He just folds his dick in half and slides it in.
He may be the worst mayor New York's ever had.
Seriously, that's saying something.
That's saying something. Yeah. And he's hated by everyone, left, right, his own party. Everyone hates him. It's brutal, dude. It's absolutely brutal. And Cuomo, too, obviously been exposed for what happened with those nursing homes while he was getting that book deal. I mean, it's just,
man.
Well, him and his brother
winning,
sitting there
and
on
winning
TV.
An Emmy.
Yeah, he won an Emmy, and him and his brother sitting there on TV laughing at that fucking softball interview. I mean, it's just embarrassing.
And then their interview ends, and it's him and fucking Donald, whatever the fuck his name is. What's his name? Don Lemon,
Donald Lemon.
Don Lemon, like they're cackling together in between. They sound like Kamala Harris, just like cackling. Like, oh, people are starving and dying. Fuck them.
Yeah, you know what
I mean? Like, I understand some people get nervous laughter sometimes and stuff like that. But maybe if you're going to be a politician that's on the news every day, learn to fucking control it, asshole.
She's got that heartless cackle. Yeah.
People don't seem to like her very much.
She seems like a tough hang. Yeah. I would think that she's not the fun. I wouldn't want to get a beer with her.
No.
I think she would put me on notice. It wouldn't be She doesn't seem like a sweet hang.
No.
She's got a Hillary vibe to her. Yep. Real tough and kind of, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a cool hang.
You know who does sound like a cool hang is Hunter Biden. Let's be real. I mean,
great
we
hang.
Make fun of him a lot, yeah, but yeah. Homeboy's smoking fucking Parmesan cheese now, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he was looking for crack vials in his rug.
Here's the deal, guys. That's a Joe Biden quote, by the way. Here's the deal. If I'm looking for somebody to give me directions, we talk about this all the time. This is actually an old Dave Attell joke. I'm looking for a guy with one leg, right? Uh-huh. If I'm looking for restaurant recommendations, I'm looking for a fat guy. Uh-huh. And if I'm looking for drug recommendations, I'm looking for a guy that's smoking shit he finds on the ground. Because clearly he's got it figured out. I'm going home today and smoking Parmesan cheese. That's it.
You know what the thing is with crackheads? A friend of mine's mom used to smoke crack when I was growing up. And so it's like they always look for it. When they run out of stuff, they're always looking for it. It's like, I just want to tell all crackheads now, if you still smoke crack.
There's no more crack.
There's no, you know where all the crack is. That's the only thing you're concerned with every day. The rest of your life is falling apart. The one thing you have on fucking lockdown is where the crack is. Yeah. And you smoked it.
Yeah, you smoked
it. So you got to go fucking steal another toaster.
I think.
And get to work. Climb a fucking wall like Spider-Man. Break into a woman's fucking apartment. And get yourself another slice of cheese. A little lettuce to pay for some more crack.
Can we fucking start an American Ninja Warrior where it's all crackheads?
That's another good idea.
But instead of the regular obstacles, they're like breaking into houses and shit. God damn it, dude.
Dude, you are flown. This is like a fucking Hollywood meeting today.
This is, we're going to make this happen. Yeah. We just got to get some crackheads.
I'd love to see it, dude. Look, Hunter Biden's doing the rounds right now, man. He's got a book out. He's got a fucking book out.
Yeah.
He's a grown-ass 51-year-old man who's asking for sympathy about him smoking Parmesan cheese off a rug. I would have sympathy for most drug users who are not 51 years old. Like at 51, you're too fucking old for that. Grow up.
Yeah, learn to drink and do drugs like an adult. I've been drinking and doing drugs since I was fucking 11 years old. I'm tired of this bullshit. Stop making me look bad.
Right.
People find out like, oh, you're high all the time? I'm like, yeah, did you ever notice? Like, no. I'm like, all right, cool.
There's a lot of functioning people who use drugs. But you know what? Crack's a tough one to kind of do recreationally.
Well, there's that Columbia professor that's
can't really microdose crack.
No, you can't. Well, there's that Columbia professor that says he's using heroin recreationally.
Yeah, I heard about that. I don't buy it.
I don't.
Nobody goes through a heroin phase in college. No. Nobody's like, yeah, you know, I used to nod off. I was 12 pounds. You know, it's fucking, those were my 20s.
My heroin phase.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess a lot of people in the late 90s.
Yeah,
right.
What was it, Mike? You know the comedian Mike DiStefano? He died.
Yeah, yeah.
He had that great joke because he was a heroin addict. He said, "People, is it good?" He's like, yeah, "It tastes." What do you say? It feels like you're getting a blowjob while puppies lick your face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which sounds pretty good.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah.
Is it sad that it actually makes me want to try it now? Like I've never heard that description of it.
It's got to be good. People get hooked immediately on heroin. Like nobody does heroin. Goes not for me.
But
you
know? It's because heroin is a combination of a chemical and psychological addiction, right? Like you're getting both at the same time, and look, we've all taken Percocet here. We know what it feels like.
Have we?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
You've never taken opiates in your life?
No.
Not one.
Really?
Yeah.
You got shot and they didn't give you opiates?
They didn't give me any opiates, no.
What do they do? Fucking sprinkle sulfur powder on there? What the hell?
The shot didn't hurt. It's hot. It burns when the bullet goes in. It's hot. But other than that, I didn't hit any. I got lucky. It didn't hit a major artery. And it doesn't hurt that much. It didn't hurt that much besides it being hot when it went in. Like there was a little smoke coming out of a little hole. But
that would actually be kind of cool.
Were you afraid? Yeah. Were you afraid of getting addicted? Because most people don't take drugs in situations like that are like, dude, I'm afraid of getting addicted.
I probably should have taken something because I started having like panic attacks afterwards and I had no idea what it was until I went to therapy and they told me it was like PTSD or whatever because I got shot, which seems like a wussy thing because it wasn't like I was in combat or anything. But like, yeah, I guess I started having these anxiety attacks and panic attacks and I kind of dealt with them for too long. I probably should have started taking something.
Yeah.
I should have started microdosing something.
Well, we can hook you up.
Okay. Well, I'm fine now.
Before you leave the studio today, we'll get you something.
Right. Yeah, we know a guy. The one I can't figure out is crack. All right? Like the heroin thing, yes. Everybody has always said that's the greatest drug of all time, and I understand it. It's so good, I refuse to try it because I'm with you. Like, I've heard the stories. I'm not going to get into it. The crack one, I don't understand. And we're about to lose another homie, Dan, to crack. DMX, dude, is about to die.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I mean, I'm not shocked by that.
Dude, yeah, what do you have, a brain aneurysm or a stroke?
I don't know.
He overdosed on Friday night, so he's on like 4 days of life support, and everybody's coming in to say goodbye right now. But
what did he overdose on exactly?
I don't know, but like, dude, can you overdose on? I guess you can overdose on crack, right?
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can have a heart attack though. You wouldn't have a stroke.
Yes. So he had a heart attack. That's what happened. So he had a heart attack, and they tried to resuscitate him like 3 or 4 times. Family and all that other shit is in there, but. Yeah, dude, that's a weird one because crack isn't like expensive or anything. You know, it's not a cool guy drug, really.
No, and it's kind of out of date.
It is very out of date. Yeah,
it's like you're doing crack. You're like, really?
It's definitely not a cool guy.
Are you listening to your CD too?
No, if you're in a bar and a guy pulls out a little vial of cocaine and puts some on his hand and sniffs it in the bathroom or something like that, you're like, all right, cool, man.
Yeah.
And if he offers you some, hey, you probably take it. To be honest, if a guy pulls out a crack pipe in the bathroom and he's wearing like a fucking nice suit or some shit, you're like, Your mind would immediately rebel at what you're seeing.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is not right. Something's wrong here. What are you smoking, guy? Is that meth or crack? What is that?
Yeah. Meth is taking over. You do that. Meth is smoked, right?
Both. Yeah, you can inject.
You can snort it.
Snort, all that stuff. But smoking it is probably the most common these days, I would think.
Yeah. I think that's kind of taken over crack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean,
yeah.
It's like the iPhone, like the cracks the iPhone, you know, the iPhone 6 and fucking meth is the iPhone 12 or whatever.
So maybe we include meth heads in our fucking, in our American meth head warrior.
Got to.
American meth head warrior, American crack head warrior.
It's actually a really great idea for a show.
I think it's fucking great. The problem would be with people, you're taking advantage of these people. Look, this motherfucker's smoking crack whether we show up and film it or not.
Yeah.
Let's be real. We didn't ask him to fucking do it. If anybody's doing smoking crack or meth, look, they're beyond fucking my help at that point.
And also, they're getting paid. You're employing people.
Buy more crack.
We fucking wheel out Ashton Kutcher. Let him host that. He hasn't hosted something in a while.
That's true. Yeah.
And Dax Shepard's got a huge podcast. He was on the first season. Let him pop out of a birthday cake and see what happens there.
I think it's a good idea. And then we could, you know, part of the show's sponsor fees will pay for their rehab should they choose to go to rehab.
Yeah,
afterwards.
We'll say that. Whatever. Just the.
But we're not gonna.
No, we're all about the rating. Yeah. No, we're protecting the kids and you know. Whatever we gotta say to get the tax breaks and whatever, but you know that show will make some good money. That is a great idea.
Yeah, well,
it'd make a fuck ton. And Giannis, I got a question for you. Me and my wife were talking about this earlier this morning about when's a good time to die from like a drug overdose or something like that. With DMX, he's a little past his prime. This one sucks because it's like, shit. If he would have died at like the top of it, it would have been rad. Is there a comedian in your opinion that died? Like from a like an overdose on drugs, we were like, I don't really think they were that great of a comedian. They just fucking died, and then they kind of, you know, everybody assumed they were a legend at that point.
So you're asking him to speak ill of the dead in a group of people that he hangs out with on a regular basis.
Yeah, I am.
Just so we're clear, I just want to be clear about what we're doing here.
I'm trying to. I can't think of one who I was like, you know what.
Like an artist, sometimes artists get famous after death just because of the circumstances of their death. But like, this looks like a child did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, you and I talked about this off air last week with Belushi. When I watched that Belushi doc, I was like, you know, he was a dark guy. What do you have gone on to do like a bunch of amazing movies after that?
Probably,
I can't tell.
Probably.
He was great. John Belushi was funny.
Yeah.
probably. I mean, Farley, those guys were funny.
Yeah, but that's actually what we were talking about.
We were talking about Farley, too,
We were talking about the difference between Belushi and Farley. From what we understand from people who hung out with Farley a lot, and we've had a couple on the show back in the day, he wanted to be the life of the party all the time.
Yeah.
And that's where his comedy came from, and that's why he wouldn't stop, and that's why he OD'd. For Belushi, he was miserable and depressed, and he was trying to find some purpose in life through comedy or at least deal with his depression through comedy. It's two very different paths that led to the same thing, right?
Yeah.
It's really interesting to see that. I don't know if in stand-up that's really a thing, though, because it's such a fucking, not a cutthroat world, but your material is your material.
Yeah, right? It's all yours.
Yeah,
it's all yours.
It's not like some guys employ writers later on, and some people buy jokes, right?
They do. Some people steal jokes, too.
Some people steal jokes as well.
Very frowned upon in a community.
That's probably the worst sin you can commit in stand-up,
It is absolutely the worst sin. I mean, we look the other way on a lot of other dirtbag behavior, but comics, it's a self-pleasing community, and if you get that stain on you, and you know, the comedians know. It's not like when parallel thinking will happen once in a while.
For sure, yeah.
two comedians will think of something. It happens all the time. But when it's like a consistent pattern, comics start to get the sense. They start to know. It starts to smell. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire. You start to go, oh, this guy or this girl is, there's so much unoriginality around them. You start to go, And then once you get that reputation, it's tough to
it doesn't seem like there's a lot of those people, though. I've heard that about.
Not a lot. No.
I've heard that about, like, Carlos Mencia and Dane Cook, I think.
Yeah.
But even Dennis Leary to a lesser degree, because they a lot of people thought that he stole a lot of Bill Hicks shit, right?
Yeah.
Back in the day.
The Dane Cook in that one, I think, if I remember correctly, I think they were a little unfair, because Dane Cook maybe one or two.
Yeah, I think his didn't seem like they were.
No.
And the guys, his comedy style isn't creative storytelling. It's the fucking theatrics,
yeah,
right?
And it was like with Louis C.K., and they're completely different types of comics, and it was like one or two bits. But yeah, that was a little unfair, because it really, I think, stained Dane a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
But I don't know the details, but like, yeah, Carlos Mencia for sure. I mean, there was like that one account from, I think it was George Lopez, who said he counted like 15 or 16 minutes of Carlos Mencia's half-hour HBO special was his jokes. So it's like almost his entire special was George Lopez's joke.
I don't understand why people think they can get it. I mean, even back then.
It's crazy, dude.
Why do you think you're going to get away with that?
That's a good question. I would ask the same question. Maybe it's when you're a sociopath or you're psychopath, you don't. I don't know. Maybe you can only feel when you try to get away with things, and so like the closer you get to getting caught, makes you feel some sort of adrenaline rush. I don't know.
That's very possible.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you this. Like, Dane Cook is a perfect example of this. Like, what if Dane would have died during the middle of all that fucking crazy? I mean, he was doing tours, like arena tours that were insane.
Well, that
like, if he would have died in the middle of that, people would have looked at him
hero,
as the fucking Messiah forever, dude.
Probably. Yeah.
Dennis Leary does a bit on this too. He's like, aren't you glad Jesus died when he did?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want Jesus turning into Fat Elvis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if Dane had died back then, he probably would have done a little better.
Dude,
because
you imagine like Jimi Hendrix like playing at the halftime show doing a duet with like
with Taylor Swift.
I mean, it would just, you know, I'd shoot myself.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you look at Carlos Santana. I mean, he had to play with fucking Matchbox 20, Rob Thomas. Like that was.
Yeah.
Now that's people's only image of Santana, not him doing acid. You know, playing a 38-minute solo at Woodstock, it's him in fucking Matchbox 20. So, yeah, I don't know. I had this discussion this morning. I'd love to kick out at a younger age when people are like, dude, he was fucking rad, instead of, like, you know, me hopping on TikTok later on in life and being like, that dude had a bunch of huge podcasts and was in some teen movies. Like, fuck him. Now he's on TikTok with his grandkids, you know, making fucking L-shaped patterns with his arms, like... Or, you always wonder.
Or you can just stop. You can retire. Like, just stop doing it. Like, Madonna, I don't know what she's doing. Like, if you go to Madonna's Instagram, there's, like, this picture. She's taking, like, selfies of herself. You know, she's 64 years old. It's like, go read to your fucking great-grandkids. You're Madonna. You're an icon. First of all, what are you doing on Instagram? Everyone already knows who you are. You don't need to build a following.
No.
You know? It's like, you need less people to know. Like, she's there, and she's taking these pathetic photos of herself, and it's just sad to see. It's like, it would be like if Prince had an Instagram account. You're going, it's Prince.
Yeah.
Why is he on Instagram? You know?
I totally agree, man, because she's 63 years old, and I think she posted it for her 63rd birthday, right? These like sexy photos of her. And yeah, at 63, she's still hot. And if you're playing the game of like, hey, you've got to fuck somebody in their 60s, Madonna's in that group for sure. But I'm not following that Instagram account every day because, you know, there's going to be wild ass shit with her spreading fucking labia in her stories. Like, I'm all done with the Madonna phase. Like, that ended, you know, 20 years ago for me.
Yeah. And, you know, there's just one of those photos where she took it herself where it's just a sad looking photo where you don't want to think of Madonna in a bathroom all by herself trying to find an angle for a selfie. It's completely beneath her. You know what I mean? You're Madonna. Like, it's like, you don't want to, it's like, don't meet your heroes. It's like, don't let your heroes have fucking Instagram accounts.
Go
to the top. If you're pulling up, it's like towards the top. There it is. When she's in the leather hat.
Yep.
That one. Yeah. And then scroll. Not this one. She looks great there. Not that one. Looks good. This one. I mean, look at that. She looks like she's a strung out crack whore.
Yeah, that's not great.
It's not. That's Madonna. Look at that. You don't want to see Madonna doing that.
I don't want to see Madonna doing it. You know, it would be even more depressing is going through her phone and looking at the 147 takes before that of the ones that were shitty that she couldn't post.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, oh, God damn it. And you had to go with this one?
Yeah.
Like, that was the best one out of the other 147?
Yeah. It's like if I was as big as Chappelle, I wouldn't have an Instagram account. He doesn't have one. It's like you don't need it when you're Chappelle.
And
you don't need a Twitter. You don't need to tweet.
No.
You're a legend, dude. Imagine like Mick Jagger did his own Instagram account.
Imagine if the President of the United States
had a Twitter account.
And despite all the successes, was such a cunt on Twitter that he couldn't get reelected.
It was like, it was an entertaining 4 years.
Yeah. I don't know if there's ever been a bigger case of a guy riding a bicycle, pulling a stick out of his own pocket and jammed it between the spokes in the history of politics.
It was almost like a stand-up comedian was president of the United States. That's, you know, because I do that all the time. I'll tweet the craziest shit, and I'm like, I'm a comic.
Right.
I'm barely mentally sane.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't want to see the president of the United States tweet something and then a market crashes because he didn't have a cup of coffee, you know?
Yeah. Or he only drinks Diet Coke, actually.
Is that what he drinks?
12 a day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss him, God damn it. It's boring out there. I don't even know where our fucking president is right now. I miss him.
Yeah. He's in hospice care, probably.
Yeah.
He's got vascular dementia. They're fucking propping that dude up on a fucking flat board right now, trying to get him to say some words.
I'll tell you who misses him even more than we do.
CNN,
MSNBC, Saturday Night Live, whatever's left of The Daily Show.
Shit. Can we talk about The Daily Show? Like, dude, why is he still doing it in his closet in like a hoodie? I don't understand. Like, are we not? Everybody else is past COVID. SNL is back on the air. They're in New York. Why is The Daily Show just Trevor Noah still in a hoodie in his fucking bedroom?
Virtue signaling, I believe, is what the phrase people use. Ross.
Yeah. I don't know why anyone even does shows anymore. I mean, nobody's watching, like literally next to nobody. I mean, the numbers that they get are the actual numbers are staggeringly low. When you find out, like I was speaking to a girl, she's a writer for Ellen, and she was telling me, I mean, a lot of this was the scandal where everyone found out she's like the worst human being in the world, which is all true. But again, like we should know that. Of course she is. You know, she's a lesbian comedian who came up at a time where you couldn't be a kid, and like she made it to the top. Joe Rogan is like the most unique dude because he's such a great guy. Usually when you meet people who are that high up and can do so much, they're usually not great people, and that's how they got there. You know, so it's like, Ellen's mean, fucking really. I couldn't see that one coming. Yeah. But anyway, she told me that the show doesn't even get a million viewers anymore.
Really?
Like that's Ellen. That's like a show that was pulling in millions and millions and millions of views, as mainstream as you can get. I mean, you can only imagine. I heard The Daily Show sometimes gets 50,000. I mean, that's like a tenth of Bert Kreischer's fucking Instagram story.
Yeah.
You know? It's like nobody's watching television at all.
Wow.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon registered at a 0.97 a couple weeks ago, which is, you know,
970,000.
That's 970,000 viewers. That's
insane,
wow.
Dude.
That's like about double or a little less than double of our daily average.
Yeah, that's insane, dude.
That's fucked up.
That's insane.
But it is what it is, right? We had James Altucher on recently. I don't know if you're familiar with the guy.
I know him.
You live in New York. You know who he is.
Yeah.
He was talking about he and I were talking about the creator economy and how corporate media is fucked now. It's not only that they've lost the power, but they've lost the trust of the community, right? It's through cable news and all other woke bullshit. Now people like us can just do whatever the fuck we want, and it's a real problem for them. It's going to be interesting to see how they fucking react to this. I can tell you how they react. They severely overpaid for the NFL contract, cable news companies, or cable companies did. They gave them, what was it, an 11-year extension or 12-year extension for the NFL?
Yes, correct. It was billions and billions of dollars because that's the only thing that's keeping TV alive is live sports,
because
you have to tune in for it. It's got to be live.
Yep.
But you know, you take all these talk shows like you know, Giannis was talking about with like Ellen, or
if the daytime shows are struggling that badly, the night shows,
yeah,
The late night shows are fucked. Well, because people watch Ellen at work. Right. Every fucking hospital on earth has Ellen on or Wendy Williams on in the middle of the day right there. Probably back to back, actually.
Right.
Every single day, no matter where you are in public, you're going to see one of those two things probably because they're fucking – it's something that everybody can watch, and it's not going to be offensive or anything like that, so it's safe for a company to have it on.
Yeah.
People that are sitting at home are watching that shit. If those are not doing well, people go home and turn on Netflix or sports.
Yeah, that's
they don't,
it.
They don't fucking watch late night shows anymore.
Nobody's tuning in when you broadcast.
No.
They're watching when they want to watch, and they make that decision. Yeah, I mean, that's one the one thing that's alarming is how, for them, it's alarming for them, is how low the views are.
Yeah.
But the reason why that's so significant is how much it costs to produce.
Yeah.
Live. It's like, yeah. to produce, Jimmy Fallon's salary, all the jobs, the studio.
He makes like $14 million a year, right?
Yeah, and it's like, and Bert Kreischer can do this and get the same amount of eyeballs. TV is...
And he's actually funny.
Yeah, he's very funny. It's like, it's done. TV, you can't, you're just losing, they're losing money hand over fist.
They've got talent, though. They just have a bad business model.
Total bad business model.
They think that having less viewers that are showing up live is a problem. It's not a problem. Not having time hacks that you have to meet is actually a good thing in media.
Right.
Right? Because now there's no competition. Well, I'm not competing for the 8 p.m. slot. I'm competing for 4 or 5, 6 hours of someone's day now. That's a much bigger fucking target window than it was before. But it's the same thing that happened. If you read any marketing fucking book in college, this is what happened to the railroads. They had a fucking monopoly on transporting shit. And instead of spending their monopoly money on fucking trucks when cars got invented so they could use trucks to deliver shit as well, they fucking like, no, fuck that. And they tried to spend their money activating legislation against motor vehicles and in the construction of highways.
Yeah.
They did the same thing. They were still hanging on by a thread when planes came out. Uh-huh. And they were like, no, fuck it. Now there's DHL, FedEx, et cetera, have planes, thousands of planes flying around every single day. What they failed to realize is they weren't in the fucking railroad business. They were in the transportation of people and goods business. You know what I mean?
That's a great analogy.
It's a very simple concept that people in corporate media are fucking losing. I have no idea how they're fucking this up so badly.
Right, right.
But they are, so thank you for that because it's making me a fuckload of money.
Well, you know what? I had a TV job, this show. It was a network called Fusion. It was like it was launched by ABC and Univision. It was a massive PR thing. It's probably the last time a network would be launched with that much money behind it, and it completely failed. And I remember talking to this like old ABC news producer. You know, he's a gay guy, been in the business like who knows 50 years. And he said something very interesting to me. He said, "This is all not going to work." Mm. And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "The world's changed." And he goes, "This corporate structure like this is like a cruise ship.
Yeah,
it's a massive cruise ship." And the internet is like an iceberg.
Mm.
And in order to turn something this big with this many employees, this much history, it takes too long and you hit the iceberg. Now you need to be in a speedboat and because you need to be able to, and it's totally true. And that's why I think they're so slow to adapt is because they're old, big cruise ships and they're just not built like a speedboat to adapt quickly.
But they
to make a turn, you got to talk to 100 people, you got to go all the way up the ladder, et cetera, et cetera.
They do have some of the model down, though. Like, I don't think people watch Saturday Night Live anymore. They go on Saturday Night Live's YouTube channel and watch clips of just the ones they want to see, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Do that then.
Yeah.
Why even have the fucking studio? Why even be at 30 Rock anymore?
Right.
Why pay whatever the fuck they're paying in rent for 30 Rock? It's got to be. I mean, they've got to be spending $2 million a month on all the floors they have there, right?
I mean, it's got to be something.
At a minimum, it's got to be. Because they've got... Studio 6, and then they got all the news places below that, right? And
Fallon's in there as well.
Yeah.
Like, dude, every dying show is in 30 Rock.
Yeah, I mean, it's like fucking, how much money are they spending on space in New York where the real estate market is collapsing right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like commercial real estate after COVID. That's going to be a total, everyone's
fucked.
Just going to be working from home.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's going to be doing fucking Zoom meetings in their underwear.
Yeah, it's going to, we talked about on the show before, what's going to happen is corporate real estate or commercial real estate is going to fail. It'll get converted into loft housing, which is going to dilute an already struggling family-owned real estate market. And then those rates are going to go down. And all those people that spend a shit ton of money or subletting or something like that, that are trying to make their money back, they're fucked.
Right. Like
the entire real estate market in New York is fucked.
Right, it is.
So in about 18 months, it'll be a good time to buy some real estate there. because it's always going to, New York's going to come back.
If it doesn't, then I mean, like, America's over. I mean, it's an important city. It's a coast city. It's an import-export city. So it's like, I mean, if New York crumbles, and we're in trouble. Yeah,
and Giannis, we love to end the show on a downer like that. That's one of our favorite things on this program. And we don't look back. This is the point of the show. We get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Giannis, who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
I will give the drinking bro of the week to my dad, my late dad, who was a great man, inspired me very much just with his character and who he was and his approach to life. He didn't take anything too seriously, and he always told me, you know, always stay loose, because anything too stiff snaps. So I like that. So he always just, to survive this life emotionally, you have to have humor. Humor, and don't take it too seriously, man. We're only here for a couple decades.
Ben, don't
That's
break.
That's true. Cheers. Cheers. Tell everybody where they can find you. I love your new podcast, by the way.
Thank you.
It's one of my favorites, man. I listen to it on the drive-in every single morning. Tell people where they can find all your stuff.
Yeah, you can find me on YouTube. The podcast is called Long Days with Giannis Pappas. Then there's bonus episodes, patreon.com/YanniLongDays. Instagram, Giannis Pappas, all one word. Just Google me, and I'd love to have you listen to some Long Days if you want.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Thank you, dude.
You say a bunch of fucked up shit, which is what I like.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
I can read humorous things on a fucking Snapple lid. I want to hear fucked up shit if I'm going to a comedy show. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what's funny. It's like the people who've been through the most are always the least offended, and the people who've been through the least are like, "What are you saying?"
By people that have been through the least, you mean like 28 to 45-year-old white women?
Yes.
Every fucking show that, so Giorgio, our producer, does a lot of stand-up comedy in the area. Every fucking show he goes to, not everyone, but I would say one out of every three, there's some white lady with a frown in the audience, just waiting. Just she showed up that night, just like, let him say something about trans people.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is like, the irony is lost on people like that who they can complain so much is an indication of how good they have it. That's the irony that's lost in them. It's like, yeah, dude, you're so free here, and your life is so good that you can have this laundry list of complaints. Right. Try to complain. Go to China and try to complain. Yeah. Try to say anything in China, and you'll find yourself just gone.
And then on the other side of that, they're constantly trying to shut down people who are complaining about stuff they agree with.
Right. Yeah.
Which seems like kind of problematic, right?
Yeah, problematic. It's the name of my new special. It's called On Notice Problematic.
Check out Giannis Pappas, dude, on all of the things, dude. The podcast, Instagram, your stand-up special is great. I don't know if Comedy Central will be a thing anymore in about 2 years, but
My special, Blowing the Light, it's on YouTube for free.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So check him out there as well. We appreciate you being with us. Is that real? You're really in Texas now?
I'm not here officially yet, but I'm going to start out by spending a lot of time here. So I'm here now. I've been here for, 4 days, and I'll be around for sure.
Sweet. Great. Hopefully I'll be back soon once my house is repaired. I'd love to be in studio with you and not trapped on a Zoom call. For D'Anthony Holloway, Giannis Pappas, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone. Good night.